Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. Welcome aboard. Tony Paradiso is our guest, our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, and the author of The Management Minefield. He's an outstanding consultant to businesses like yours and mine. He does a lot of writing on the topic and publishes his writings every week, and he is a business owner too, just like you and me. He's out there running operating companies just like you and me, and he's our good friend Tony. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Let me give it a plug in for my column, because I'm very proud of my track record. I write a column for one of New Hampshire's largest newspapers, the Nashua Telegraph, every week. You can get it online at nashuatelegraph.com. And I write mostly about macroeconomic issues, but my track record over the last 3 years is about 80% correct on my economic predictions, which exceeds the average economist. So I'm very proud of that.
I agree with you. Well, that's even a little better than mine. I've been batting about 750 on my predictions over about the last 6 years.
Well, the two of us are in a class by ourselves, Jim.
People should be listening to us more, shouldn't they?
They absolutely should.
I tell my wife that all the time.
And you want to know, but you were joking a little bit about this, but you want to know what the difference is? All these, you know, I look at these professional economists that get paid a lot of money and have PhDs. The trouble is they never had a real job.
That's right.
Yeah, and they don't know how things really work. And so,
well, you know what Reagan said about them, don't you?
What?
Reagan said the definition of an economist, and I'm going to hear about this because I got a bunch of economist friends. Reagan said the definition of an economist is someone who looks at something happening in reality and wondering if it actually would work in theory.
Right. The best economists are people that have that economic background, but also
have
some real world experience.
Those are
the guys to pay attention to.
Those are the people we have on our show.
Right.
By the way, we have several economists who are members of our Brain Trust, and these are real guys and real men and women out there who know about what it's like where the rubber meets the road. But you're exactly right. One of the things that Tony a really important thing for businesses to do is, you know, I talked about reinventing yourself with Jane Pollock in the previous segment. There are a lot of different ways to do that. Reinventing doesn't have to mean that you turn your business upside down and paint it purple. It could mean that you just make an adjustment, a strategic adjustment, even one that hurts a little bit, in your product line or in your pricing strategy or in your marketing approach, or you realize that your audience, your customers, have aged and they want different things, whatever it might be. It could be something like that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and you have to make adjustments in times like this, because everyone's business is suffering. I mean, there's, you know, unless you're in the bankruptcy, you know, you're a bankruptcy lawyer or a mortician, you've probably felt the pain of this economic downturn.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to do two things. You've really got to make sure all your expenses in line. But from a product standpoint, I mean, most businesses, as they are successful and they grow, they add products, and typically when you do that, you end up getting this 80-20 rule, right, where 20% of your products are
the Pareto principle,
80% of your revenue. And so when you hit an issue like this where, you know, business is a struggle, you want to focus on your top performers. So, it's the core of your business. And so you look at your marginal products, you have to make decisions on whether you want to keep them, whether they're worthwhile to have in the product line, because they're distracting, there's inventory costs, and you can simplify your business, maybe further streamline your expenses while not giving up a significant amount of revenue.
Well, exactly, and the thing is a lot of these things could just be tiny tweaks, right? I mean, little small tweaks. One of the things that I learned when I was learning how to fly an airplane on instruments, my instructor said, Instrument flying, the key to safe and effective and successful instrument flying is to make teeny tiny corrections all the time. Don't wait till things get out of hand to make one big correction, because then you're going to swing right through that one, and you're going to have to go back through it, you know, to recover. And he said if you make small corrections all the time, he said you'll pretty much stay on course. What do you think about that?
And your customer base doesn't get disrupted. I mean, if you're in one business one day, and then the next day you decide, oh, I want to be over, you know, in left field. Well, all of a sudden, your customers are going to come in and say, well, what's going on? But
right.
if you make these minor adjustments, all your customers never notice. I'll give you an example.
Hold on to that thought, Tony. We got to take a quick break, and we're going to let Tony pick up on that when we come back, folks. One of the cardinal rules of business is surprising your customers. You should never surprise your customers. Quick break, 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back with Tony Paradiso. Robert Cray bringing us back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out. Use it to your advantage. We built it just so you could have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Lots of stuff there. Articles, archives, past interviews, articles that I've written and my Brain Trust members have written, like our good friend Tony Paradiso. He has deposited many words written and spoken of wisdom with us over the years, and we have them recorded and there for your benefit and for posterity. Don't forget to check out my blog, which, by the way, my recent post is a little bit little edgy. It's about climate change and my thoughts on climate change, and I'll give you an idea. If you didn't already know how I'm leaning, I call some of these guys zealots. So that'll make you think about that. And so don't forget to also my newsletter. Check out my newsletter. You can subscribe to that right there on the homepage, or right off the homepage, I should say. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame, all one word. Tony Paradiso is with us. He's our good friend, the author of The Management Mind Field, and we're talking about making adjustments in your business. Tony, you were going to tell us a story as we went to the break.
Yeah, I own a country store, and although it's been kind of a stepchild for me, I've begun to focus a little bit more on it lately, and it provides a good example of, you know, managing a product line. Over time, I've been getting rid of all these kind of outlier products for a couple of reasons. Either the sales weren't high enough, or the preparation was too complex, and so. By getting rid of these products, I'm not giving up a whole lot of revenue, and I'm streamlining my operation and saving costs in terms of labor and those kinds of things. And ultimately, I'm trying to morph it into more of a burger and ice cream place. And mm-hmm. the reason for that is simple. Those are the margin products. Mm-hmm. And so it's a twofold opportunity. Is not only those are the margin products, but those are the simplest products also to serve, and so I can keep my costs down as well. So I'm not just changing the menu overnight. It's little by little, I'm beginning to add products. I'm going to add a line of game burgers because my particular clientele is a kind of a blue-collar clientele, lots of hunters, and so that gives me some differentiation and moves mm-hmm. me in a kind of a baby step towards this idea of kind of focusing on two food groups.
But you've done a little bit of research. You've seen what's working, what's not working.
Oh,
and you're
yes.
moving towards the things that work, that do two things, right? That it works for, first, it works for your customer, but also the things that work for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. You have to look at margins. And so you want to try to make sure you capture those product offerings that have the highest margin, not necessarily the highest price. And that's mm-hmm. there's a big distinction. One of the things I've been doing is bringing in more 99-cent drinks. but I'm doing it in such a way that I actually make more margin dollars on a 99-cent drink than I'm making on a $1.35 drink, simply because of where I purchase it or the deals I'm able to get.
You're talking about bottled drinks, obviously.
Yeah, bottled drinks, water, or a lot of non-carbonated stuff. Well, that's where you make your money. You really don't make your money on Coke and Pepsi. You make it on all these other drinks. Well, in today's climate, and if you're offering a 99-cent drink, that guess what? That's what people want to buy because they're saving, you know, 30 cents or 40 cents here.
Right.
So you're providing more value to your customer, but you're not giving up anything in terms of your overall profitability and your margin.
And you're probably putting those high-margin 99-cent drinks more accessible to your customers when they walk in.
Absolutely, and you know, you sticker them, and in some cases the suppliers are providing nice bright orange, you know, 99-cent stickers, which is great,
right?
Because it focuses people. But I'm there's no getting around price these days. You know, what I noticed is in both the construction company that I run and in the country store that you have to make price adjustments, as painful as that may be, and that's why expense control and margin analysis and smart buying is critical. But I started running a $5 sub special. I mean, I just copied Subway, and it had almost an immediate impact on my business. And for the first time,
there's something about the
value.
The idea of a number that is important to people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, are you concerned that when the economy turns around and you need to sell that sandwich for $6? That you'll have trouble getting to six?
No, because you know, you talked about baby steps. You never do big price increases. You go from $5 to
right.
$5.15 to $5.20.
Well, the reason I asked that is because we've had quite a few folks on the show who recommend instead of cutting the $6, you know, sub down to $5, maybe you give them a bag of chips that costs you 29 cents, you know, whatever, and so that way whenever things change, you haven't really discounted your lead product. What do you think?
Well, you know what? I what I'm seeing in my store, because every area is different and every customer base is different. I track things on a very specific department by department category, and snacks, desserts, all those extemporaneous items, people aren't buying. If they're coming into the store, they're buying a sandwich, and sometimes not even a drink. And so those package deals are good value, you know, the value meals, you know, McDonald's and all make it. But it increases the price, and people are just so focused on how much am I going to spend for lunch
right.
today. And so I think for me, for my particular clientele, that low cost get in, get out for under $5 is an attractive offering.
And folks, this is what he's determined is best for him and what will work for his customer profile. Do you know what your customer profile is? That's really important.
Yeah.
And do you know what margins you have to keep your doors open? That's very important, too. Good lessons from our good friend Tony Paradiso. He and I will be right back after these messages. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Tony Paradiso, the author of The Management Minefield. Tony, tell us how we can find you online.
Oh, you can find me online really at the Nashua Telegraph these days.
Right.
It's www.nashuatelegraph, N-A-S-H-U-A, telegraph, all one word, .com. Every Sunday, publish a column. You talked about edgy before. Well, most of my columns are pretty edgy, and I try to make them amusing. So you learn something and have a chuckle or two at the same time.
So check it out, folks. If you've heard Tony before, you know his writing is good, too. And they can still get your book at Amazon?
Yeah, you can get my book at Amazon.
The Management Minefield.
The Management Minefield.
Tony, wrap it up for us. As we go out, what are your thoughts on? We got a lot of businesses out there who are, some of them are really struggling. Some of them are doing okay, but they could always use a little bit of help. What's your best advice?
Well, best advice is focus on your high margin products. You got to watch your expenses. Focus on your high margin products. understand your customer base, because what works for one little business will not work for another, even though you're in the same business. And we haven't talked about this, but understand what your competition is doing.
And
if you're running a special that you think is going to work, but somebody else is running a similar special, it may negate what you're doing. So you do want to try to create some differentiation. And no matter what business you're in, you do have to understand what your primary competitors are doing. Don't just ignore it. There's opportunities here as well. You know, the strongest will survive, and the survivors will flourish. And so you get past this point in time, your business is going to have an opportunity to grow, because others won't be around anymore, and you can pick up that market share.
Absolutely.
But it's all about margin, it's all about cost, and it's all about understanding your customers.
What about ego? You know, I wonder how much of what we do and how much we're refused to turn loose of is because of some ego that we built into a product or a strategy or even our business. The way our businesses proceed, the way we perceive our business, you know, how much of that's ego? You know, ego will take you down.
Oh, I've seen it at big companies. Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the reasons why I left corporate America, because so many bad decisions were made versus ego. You gotta park your ego at the door. I mean, ego doesn't pay the bills. Whatever works, regardless of whose idea it is, and if something doesn't work, if you implement something that doesn't work, that don't, you know, cut your losses, get out, and try the next thing. Ego, there's no percentage in trying to protect your ego, because ultimately a bad idea is a bad idea.
Well, another thing that I try to encourage people to think about is that it's okay to fall in love with what you do. But it's not okay to fall in love with how you do it, because a lot of things that we do, you know, people are still going to use shoestrings, you know, next year, which is a centuries old device. But the way people buy shoestrings, the way they acquire them, is not the same as they did 100 years ago.
Right.
Or even 10 years ago, or whatever it is that you're doing. You were talking about it earlier. You know, the sub sandwich hasn't changed much in how long, but you know, you got to make adjustments when you need to, and don't fall in love with something that's not working.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Because it just adds complexity to your business, and some of those are intangible costs. You don't know. Sometimes it's hard to measure the cost of some of these peripheral products that are in your line, and what you'll find is when you start jettisoning those marginal products, and you begin to focus on the ones that are really driving your business, everything runs more efficiently and your margins will increase.
And one of the best ways to find out how much of what you're doing is ego is to talk to your people about what they think. Right?
That's always an eye-opener.
Because they're usually where the rubber meets the road more than you are, aren't they?
Yeah, they're out in the front lines. The bigger the company, the more susceptible you are to this. You get further and further removed from your customer. And if you're not talking to your people, your salespeople in particular, because they're the ones that are, you know, or your cashier, if you've got a retail store, talk to your cashier people and your floor people, because they're the ones that are talking to the customers every day and hearing the comments and picking up the nuances of the psychology. And you need to understand the psychology, particularly in the retail side, if you're going to be able to adapt appropriately.
Absolutely. And talk to them on a regular basis and get them to tell you how things seem to be moving, and so you can pick up some of the early clues. Hey, Tony, thanks for being here. Good job today again, as always.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Tony Paradiso, ladies and gentlemen, a real-life small business owner just like you and me. And he joins us. He'll be joining us again real soon with some more good insights. I got to go for this hour. I'll be back after the news, but right now I got to take a quick break. And before I go, I want to remind you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.